morning and turn with me to Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. We'll be reading verses 20 through verse 23. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that we can go to the Scripture for subjects like we're going to deal with today. And we thank you, Lord, for clear teaching. And I pray that we as God's people would be people who keep ourselves pure, our hearts pure, our actions pure. And Lord, I pray you'd give us understanding from the Word of God today. We thank you, Lord, that in a world such as we live, in a wicked world, that we can be clean, we can be pure, we can live for you. Help us desire to do that and give victory to, each of our lives. And if there be one here today who is not saved, we pray that today would be the day of faith for them, that they would put their faith in Jesus Christ who died for them on the cross of Calvary and rose again for their justification. I thank you, Lord, that salvation is complete and available to all those who believe. Give direction today. Give enablement to bring the message. We'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All of us know that adultery, fornication, and homosexual acts are sinful. We know that God speaks against these sexual sins in ways that leave no doubt that they are wrong. Of adultery, God says in the Scripture, Exodus 20, verse 4, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, he says, "The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." That's how serious it was. And if that was true today, and if it was practiced today, there'd been a lot of dead people. But the Lord says that's how serious he considers it. Proverbs 6, verse 32 says, "But whoso committeth adultery lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." And then in relation to fornication, the Lord is clear. He says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, "Flee fornication. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Galatians chapter 5 lists fornication as one of the sins or the works of the flesh, and the flesh is the sin nature, so therefore it's sin. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, it says, "Abstain from fornication." And Revelation chapter 17, verse 4, God is talking about Babylon. He talks about the filthiness of her fornications. And then homosexual acts. God also says they are sinful and they're, of course, not right at all. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, the Lord says, Sodom and Gomorrah, their sin is very grievous. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, in Leviticus 20, verse 13, God says that homosexual acts are abomination. In Judges chapter 19, verses 22 to 24, God refers to them as wickedness, as folly, and as a vile thing. In Judges chapter 19, well, I just mentioned that. In Romans chapter 1, verse 24 to verse 28, he refers to them as homosexual acts in various ways. He calls it vile affections, that it's against nature, that it's unseemly, that it's error, and that it's the product of a reprobate mind. In Jude, verse 7, God speaks of the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, which was homosexual sin. He said it was going after strange flesh. Now, we as Christians agree with what the Bible says about these sins. But the world does not agree with the biblical conclusion. The world will justify their actions, but the Bible is true and the world is wrong. Let's get that straight and make sure you don't doubt it. God knows what He's talking about when He speaks about these things. Yet Christians are often guilty of the sin of the heart that we will deal with today. That sin is the sin of impurity of heart. Our text says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. That's what we're talking about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, let us cleanse ourselves of all sins of the flesh and the spirit. The sin we will speak about this morning is a sin of the spirit, a sin of the heart, or a sin of the mind. You might not be guilty of an outright act of adultery or fornication or homosexual act. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 says it like this. Jesus is talking. And he says, ye have heard that it has been said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. So if you, as a man or a woman, young or old, married or unmarried, have sexual desires for anyone other than your wife or husband, and have thought about satisfying those desires in your mind, you have committed a sin of the heart. And we should not trivialize this by saying, oh, that's only natural, or it's harmless, or everybody does that. No, we must realize that it's sin, that it's serious, that it displeases our Savior, and that it hinders our effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's consider some things about this subject this morning. The first thing I'd like for us to talk about is that God made us sexual beings, and we all know that, and He set boundaries for our sexual expression. Now, God made male and female. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that God created man in His own image, male and female created He them. You are a male or you are a female because God chose you to be that way. And the whole transgender thing today and the confusion about gender is serious because it's actually against God. It's sad, but it's true that this is just very prevalent today. In our own area, there's a court that has denied, that has taken a child, a 17-year-old child, away from their parents because that child wanted to have a sex change and the parents said no and they took the child away from the parent. That shows how messed up our culture is. But God made us male and female. He made us that way for a reason. There's two reasons. Number one, He made it that way for childbearing. Because the very next verse says this, and God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. The reason God made male and female is so they would be fruitful and multiply. But then there's another reason as well. And that is for the expression of love inside of marriage. And the Bible makes it very clear that God intends that. Now, sexual intimacy was planned by God for marriage. And it's wholesome and it's right inside of marriage. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. After the Lord told about creating Adam and Eve, making Eve and bringing her to Adam, He says this in that concluding verse of that chapter. He says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were naked inside their marriage, and there was no shame. There was no sin there. In fact, God had told them to be fruitful and multiply before they ever sinned. So that was not sin. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says this, marriage is honorable all in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. That is still true. Now, concerning near of kin, God gives a discussion in the book of Leviticus that's interesting. Sometimes we don't talk about this, but I want us to talk about it this morning. And God's talking about marriage between those who are close of kin. But there's a principle I believe we need to see here, and that's concerning nakedness. The Bible says in Leviticus 18, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of, and then He begins to tell. You can turn your Bibles if you want to read that, but He says, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of your father. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of your mother. Thou shalt not uncover, verse 8, the nakedness of your father's wife. So if your father's wife is not your mother, he's married to someone else, maybe since that, maybe your mother died or something. But the Lord says, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your sister, nor the nakedness of your son's daughter. or your daughter's daughter, or your wife's or your father's wife's daughter. And then he says in verse 12, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister or your mother's sister. And then verse 14, of your brother's or your brother's brother. Must be referring to the women. And he says this in verse 15, or of thy daughter-in-law or of thy brother's wife. And then chapter 20, verse 20, it says of thy uncle's wife. So the Lord is saying, don't uncover the nakedness of these people's wives. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11, it says this. If a person does uncover his father's nakedness, he is uncovering, if he uncovers his father's wife's nakedness, he is uncovering his father's nakedness. And that is saying this. The nakedness of the wife belongs to the spouse and nobody else. Nobody else. He says the same of in Leviticus 20, verse 20, or that if you do that of your uncle's wife, you're uncovering your uncle's nakedness. And the same in verse 21, or your brother's nakedness, and that means your brother's wife. And so the nakedness of a person's spouse belongs to that person and no one else. Now, I know this is graphic in a sense, but this comes from the Word of God, and we need the Word of God today to combat all the immorality that we find around us. The nakedness of a spouse also is to be enjoyed by the spouse. Now, the Bible makes that clear. In Proverbs 15, verse 15, in poetic language, you might say, the Lord says this, drink waters of thine own cistern, and running water is out of thine own well. Water refreshes, water meets a need. And the Lord says you drink water from your own cistern and from your own well. And the context there is talking about intimate relationships. And then he goes on to say this. Verse 18. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And if you turn there to Proverbs 5, you can read more descriptive language. I won't say it all today. But in verse 18, he says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And then in verse 19, after giving some description, he says this. Be thou ravished always with her love. A spouse is to be ravished with the love of their spouse. And the Lord says they are to enjoy them. That's God's intention. So the biblical boundaries are clear. There is to be no physical activity, sexual activity with anyone at all outside of marriage. Uncovering nakedness would include seeing somebody's nakedness. Now let me explain to you. Leviticus 20, verse 17 says this, and if a man shall take his sister and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. It is a wicked thing. Therefore, I believe we can conclude from that pornography is sin. Let me say that again. Pornography is sin. If you, in the secret of your life, maybe no one else knows about it, are viewing pornography, God says it is a sin. It is a wicked thing. And it's not to be tolerated in a Christian's life. You see, in seeing pornography, you're seeing something that God forbids, the nakedness of someone else. And you're also thinking something that God forbids, and that is an act with that particular individual. And God says that is sin. We're speaking of sins of the heart. And this is a very serious sin of the heart today. Now, our first thing we've been talking about is that God made us sexual beings, male and female, and God set physical boundaries for that only in marriage. Now, God also extends those boundaries. And He extends those boundaries to the heart. You see, the heart is connected to the mind. So the heart and the mind and the spirit are sort of the whole same idea. And that we know that because the Lord says this in Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you think in your heart. And so the Lord says what you think involves your heart. And Matthew 5 again, the Lord said, we read it a while ago, ye have heard that it is said in old times, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her already in his heart. Proverbs 6 verse 25 says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Desire not another person in your heart other than your wife or your husband. It is absolutely forbidden. No exception whatsoever. In Proverbs 6 verse 18, the Lord says, he hates the heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. And don't you think that those sexual thoughts are wicked imaginations? And God says he hates those. Now I want to give you this morning the example of David. Poor David. I tell you, in committing that sin that he committed, he has been talked about over and over and over again. That's one reason I say God doesn't forget what you did. You know, you say, when I get saved, God forgets everything I did. No, he doesn't forget it. His forgetfulness is an act of his will that he determines he'll never bring it up against you again. That's why he forgets. But does God know that you did it? Sure, he knows he did it. He wrote down David's sin, and we've been reading about it ever since. But let's talk about David. David, the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2, he saw a woman washing herself. And these are God's words. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now, I want to remind you, God said that. There's nothing wrong with saying to your wife, maybe you'd say something like this, she's a beautiful lady, isn't she? There's nothing wrong with admiring somebody's beauty as long as you don't take it any further than that. God made us to see, and God makes us know beauty when we see it. And the Lord says, he failed this woman, she was beautiful to look upon. But it went further than that. The Bible says in verse 4 of 2 Samuel 11, that he asked who she was. He said, it's the wife of your soldier that's out in the field fighting for you. And he went ahead and took her anyway, and he lay with her. And the Bible says then after that, he started the big cover-up. That always happens. You know, you sin, you know, shouldn't do this, and you cover it up as best you can. And so, old David sent for Uriah. Hey, Uriah, how's things going? Give me a report on the battle. I want you to come back and tell me about it. And he tells him, he says, that's good. Here it says, take this food and go on home and take a rest. But Uriah didn't do that. He was thinking about his men out on the battlefield. He wouldn't do that. He went outside the gate and he slept there and he didn't go home. The next day, David found out he didn't go home. And David said, why didn't you go home? He said, how can I go home? My men are out there fighting the battle. They're not. How can I go home and go with my wife and they're out there fighting the battle? I won't do that. He had more character than David did. So what did David do? David's still trying to cover up. And David gets him drunk. Asks him for a meal again and gets him drunk and then sends him out and thinking, surely a man drunk will go do that. It tells us something about drunkenness, you know. Usually you do things that you wouldn't normally do. But this man had some character and he said, no, I still won't go. So David said, all right. He said, then I'm going to take care of it another way. And so he writes out a letter to Joab. And he puts it in Uriah's hand and says, Uriah, will you take that? Uriah had so much character, he wouldn't open to read that letter. That letter was his death warrant. That letter told Joab to put Uriah to the front of the battle so that he would be killed. And that happened. Joab got the letter, and he went to the front of the battle, and he was killed. And then the message came back, and everybody started mourning, and Bathsheba mourned. And then the mourning was over, and then David sent for Bathsheba and made her his wife. The cover-up was complete. Rise out of the picture. But you see, God saw, didn't he? God knew all about it. And so, David's sin, we need to understand, did not begin when he had adultery with Bathsheba. David's sin began when he had adultery without Bathsheba in his mind. And you know, it always starts there. And God says we need to nip it at the bud and make sure that we don't do that, because that is sin in itself. And that is, actually, the Lord says it's adultery of the heart. And if you don't stop it, it'll produce the adultery of the flesh. And so God says it's very serious. He sinned when he saw her and desired her. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And those evil thoughts came out of David's heart. It was a sin of the heart. Now, I want us to remember some things. I want to give you some things to remember when you're tempted with impure thoughts. First of all, you need to remember this. God sees your thoughts. God sees us. He knows when we think things that aren't right. He knows our minds. You know, sometimes we think what goes in our mind nobody sees, but God does. He says in Psalm 139, verse 2, Thou understandest my thought afar off. Proverbs 5, verse 21, in Proverbs, we'll see in chapter 5, it's talking about this immorality. And the Lord says this, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. The Lord knows what's going on in your mind. So you need to remember that. You need to remember that God sees your thoughts. You also need to remember this, that impure thoughts lie to you. They lie to you. Now, let's look at it in Proverbs chapter 5, if you'll take your Bibles and turn back there. Proverbs chapter 5. Here's the lying that's going on. Proverbs 5, verse 3. The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. The devil uses somebody to entice someone else, and he always tries to paint a good picture. Her lips drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Look at chapter 6, verse 24. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 all speak of this. In chapter 6, verse 24, he says this, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. Flattery is involved. You see, they're telling a lie. They're flattering you. In Proverbs 6, verse 25, lust not after her beauty, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Things haven't changed, have they? Her beauty with her eyelids, you know, she just flashes his eyelid just right. And the devil uses that. What is that? That's deception. That's making you think, this is good, you know, this is acceptable. This is really something that I would desire and I would be pleased with. And then Proverbs 7 says, there was a young man, Proverbs chapter 7 says, in verse 7, there was a young man void of understanding. He doesn't see through the deception. We have some young men today in our congregation. We have some young ladies in our congregation. Let me remind you, if the devil is tempting you in this way, he is lying to you. And there was a young man void of understanding. And so he sees this lady. Look at verse 13. She kissed him. Here's her deception. You know, she looks beautiful. She talks beautiful. And she kissed him. And then she said to him in verse 14, I have peace offerings with me, and I come forth to seek thy face. I mean, you're the only one I have eyes for. Well, that was a lie. She had eyes for anybody that would give her some attention. She said, you're the only one. She's flattering him with her lips. She's lying to him. Verse 17, I've perfumed my bed. Let us take our fill of love until the morning. It's not love. It's lust. And it's sinful. And it's destructive. Verse 21, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield, and with the flattery of her lips she forced him. So this is all a lie. This is all a lie. And the only thing truthful in this whole thing about this woman is verses 9 and 10. In the twilight, in the dark night, there met a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. The only thing truthful about this woman was the attire that she wore. The attire of a harlot. She looked like it. Beware when the devil takes someone that looks the way that would entice you. She had the attire of a harlot. That was the only thing truthful about this lady. She dressed like she was. But everything else, it was lying. And so, impure thoughts happen. And this young man who was void of understanding, he was sinning with his thoughts before he's ever sinned with her physically. The impure thoughts that he had led to entrapment, defeat, disappointment, disgrace, and defeat, and death. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. I want to point this out to you. And we'll just read the passage. It's very self-explanatory, beginning in verse 22. Remember all this lying she's done to him. Oh, I've perfumed my bed. We're going to take our love until the morning. I mean, she's just flattering him with all these words. And then verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correctional stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, and a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not what that is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. You see, let not thine heart decline to her ways. That's where the sin begins, in the heart. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way of hell, going down to the chambers of death. Very serious. Look at chapter 5. We'll look at some verses there that describe this destruction that happens after the lie. Look at verse 4. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. For her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last, and thy flesh and thy body, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, or inclined to the ear of them that instructed me? The Lord says, all of these things are lies, and they will lead to defeat and destruction and death. You see, the Lord wants us to turn away from all of these things. Turn away from the sights that entice. Say no to the sins that of the world and the sins of the flesh. Avoid the impure conversation. You see, impure conversation really sometimes leads to impure thoughts. You can be in a group and they start talking in an impure way. The best thing to do is just get out of there. Don't repeat their language. There are certain words that people use today that should never be on the lips of a child of God. Never. I try to guard myself. There's things I would not say just because I don't even want that to be on my lips. And you as children of God should make sure that you do that. Because if you are loose on that, you're going to also be loose in your thoughts. And before long, you're loose in your actions. So the Lord says that one thing we should do is stay out of the path of those that leads to impure thoughts. Don't go there. Don't be with those people. Don't be around those people. Stay away from those people. They will bring you down. And the Lord doesn't want us to be brought down by the world. You see, David never understood. David never understood that when he had the impure thoughts, what was going to happen. I don't think David, that day, you know, he didn't go out to war and he was walking out on his housetop. I don't think that when he looked and saw the beautiful woman that the first thing on his mind was, I'm going to do all this. No, that it developed. And he saw, and rather than turn away, he didn't turn away, and he stayed and he gazed, and then the thoughts began to go in his mind, and then he began to follow that with action. He never thought the first gaze would have led to an adulterous act. He never thought that would have led to deception and then to murder. David, the king, became a murderer. He never thought that would lead to more deception as he tried to cover it up. He never thought that it would lead to great humiliation, which he had when he stood before Nathan. He got so indignant about that story that Nathan told him about this man who took the poor man's lamb and fed it to the stranger when he had all kinds of lambs. He took the man who had only one, and he fed and he used it to feed the guy who came to visit him. David got so incensed and so mad, but he was humiliated when Nathan pointed his finger at him and said, "Thou art the man." He never thought that would happen when those thoughts began to go in his mind. He never thought about the death of that child that would come, but it did. He never thought about dishonoring God, but Nathan said to him in verse 14 of 2 Samuel 12, "Thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." And you know, they're still doing it. They're still blaspheming over this story. He never thought about the rape of his daughter that his own son would commit. He ever thought about his other son rising and then killing that son, Amnon, and then that son, Absalom, being killed himself. He never thought that. But that all came from this sin. David never considered that. So what should he have done? He should have gotten out of the path, away from those people, away from those thoughts, away from the things that would have led him astray. So that's what we need to do. We need to take some steps to make sure that we don't go down that path and stay away from that path that would lead us that direction. Another thing we need to do is learn Scripture that we could apply when that time comes. Proverbs 6, verse 20, it says this, "My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually about thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandments is a lamp and a light, and the law is light, and reproofs and instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the woman, from the flattery of the tongue, the strange woman." Remember the Scriptures. If there are young people here today that are going to be tempted down the road, I hope God will bring to your mind this preacher saying this pulpit this morning and telling you that that's wrong, and those very thoughts that you're having is going to lead you down to a path that's going to bring great dissatisfaction. I hope you'll remember that. God says, remember His Word. Psalm 119 says, "When thou, wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So hide the Word of God in your heart. Have some Scripture verses you can use when you're attacked by the devil. Psalm 101, verse 3 says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." So when we're tempted this way, when the evil thoughts come, what should we do? Well, first of all, we should have stayed off that path. We should have stayed away from it. We should use Scripture if it comes, and we should say, "Lord, I don't want to think this way. Lord, cleanse my mind. Help me not to do this." And you should confess your sin to the Lord. Now, I would like to say that this preacher never has any impure thoughts, but that would be a lie, and you would know it. You would know it. But what do you do when impure thoughts come? You confess it to the Lord immediately. You say, "Lord, I am sorry. Lord, please forgive me. Please help me not to go any further with this." And the Lord will give victory. He does every time if you'll be honest to the Lord to say that. "Lord, I confess it." 1 John 1:9, "If I confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And then another thing we need to do is stay busy in godly pursuits. You see, Satan zeroes in on your leisure. That doesn't mean leisure is wrong. But you best be careful when you're at leisure. What was David doing when this happened to him? He should have been out with his men fighting probably, but he was at leisure home. And he walked out on his roof and he looked. And he was at a vulnerable time. He should have turned around and gotten busy doing something constructive, but he didn't. He began that long path that led to that great destruction in his life. And so we need to stay busy in God's pursuits. Another thing we need to do is that we need to stay close to God and love Him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7 says this, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." You see, when Satan tempts us, when Satan brings or our flesh, we blame a lot of things on Satan he doesn't do. He doesn't need to sometimes. It's our own flesh. But when we are tempted in this way, we need to Make sure we confess it to the Lord, and then we need to draw nigh to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Say no to the devil, no to these things. And then draw nigh to God and Lord, and say, Lord, I do love you for what you've done for me. I thank you for what you've done for me. I want to serve you. I want to love you. And tell the Lord that. And the Lord says, you draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. You see, you cannot draw nigh to God when you're having impure thoughts. It just doesn't work. You can't draw nigh to God when those thoughts are going through your mind. So you confess it, you turn away from it, and you draw nigh to the Lord. Philippians chapter 4 tells us on things we're to think about. He said, think on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy. Think on these things. The Lord wants us to think on good things. I want to say a word to our youth this morning as we close, and that is, all the pleasures of intimacy that God is preparing for you are found in marriage. And God is preparing you for that. That's why there's changes taking place in your body. That's why you are having those desires and things. God is preparing you for when those can be fulfilled. And it's only in marriage, and it's always wrong outside of marriage. Don't forget that. You need to understand that God is worth waiting for. He will not cheat you. He never will. You will always win when you obey God. You will never lose when you obey God, but you'll always lose when you disobey God. You'll always lose when you disobey God. It's never a winning proposition to let the thoughts of impurity in your mind continue. God says, confess it, forsake it, and love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind. This is a sin of the heart. Impurity of the heart. And God wants us to get victory over it. And God wants you to make sure that you continue that victory. So I caution you as God's people today, don't let the devil get you in this way. And if there's something going on in the secret parts of your life, if you're dabbling around with things you shouldn't be, if you're watching things you shouldn't watch, get it right with the Lord before it's too late. Before it brings great destruction, get it right with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for helping us to deal with this delicate, sensitive subject. And yet, Lord, it's just forthright in the Scripture. There's no beating around the bush. You just tell us that we're not to be involved in this. And I pray that you would give victory in people's lives. Help us never to succumb to those things that would bring us down. Help us always, Lord, when things happen in our life and our mind, to confess it, forsake it, and to get close to you and to get victory. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the possibility to live pure lives. Help us to do that. We pray in Jesus' name.